we have heard scriptures as should be accompanied during the Advent season, that we would read an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture. But the scripture of which I will be coming from today is a familiar text. In fact, it's part of the Advent story. It's found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. And it reads as thus. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hills of Judea, where she entered Zacharias. Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. Lord, hide me behind the cross and do in me, God, what you choose. God, the Holy Spirit, I beseech you now. Come, Lord, come and be with us in this hour, that we might hear from heaven on today. Oh, God, we thank you and we give you praise. Amen. Our scripture title this morning is, "Will You Believe?" We are in the season of Advent, a celebration of the time of great expectations and hope of the coming of the Messiah. Every year, the church acknowledged this very important time in the life of every Christian. The story of Advent is about joy and hope and expectations that came with Christ when he came into the world. Everyone that understood what was happening and what was about to happen was filled with joy and excitement about what God was about to do. From Mary, Elizabeth, and Simeon to the shepherds and the wise men that rejoiced and praised God in the presence of Christ. They all understood that God was doing something special in their lives, and they were blessed of God. If you want to be a person that's blessed of God, then you should be a person who is aware of the works of God around us. That realization that God is at work will bring joy and excitement to your life. In acknowledging Advent and celebrating Christmas, we are remembering that God had a plan, an appointed time when he would fulfill the promise. We are remembering that God opens a door and sends blessings. We are remembering that God promises doesn't come in our time, but in his time. God promises are not fulfilled in our way or the way that we think he should fulfill them, but he fulfilled them in the way that he know that is best for us. He's sovereign. God promised us it is not what we want, but what we need that he will provide. Just like they were expecting and hoping each and every day for the promised Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior, we now wait on the promise of his return. So many of us live in hopes and expectations of the promises of God that he has made to us as a Christian body. And in the promises we believe God will honor us with individually. Each day we wake up with the hope that this day will be the thing, that will be the day that the Lord will come and do what he said he would do. This will be the day that things will turn around for me. This will be the day that the atmosphere will shift for me, and I will have that special tailor-made blessing that God has promised just for me. the blessing that is just for me, just as we were all blessed with a purpose, there are some blessings that God has just for us individually. A blessing no one else can experience without you. Here we are. We have two women, Mary and Elizabeth. Both are women of God. Both are women who are faithful to God. And they live their lives for God. Two women used to fulfill a promise to humanity. Not all of humanity believed, but the promise was given to all. One was a young virgin girl, Mary. Mary didn't come from a well-to-do family, living in great means. Her parents were not great landowners. This teenager is said to have been between the ages of 14 and 15 years of old, and she was engaged to be married to an older man by the name of Joseph, who was also from very humble means. In the village where Mary and Joseph lived, Nazareth was an out-of-the-way little place, a place most people didn't have a desire to ever go there. We know it was thought of to be a place of no value, a dusty little village, what some would call today a slum or a ghetto. Early on in Jesus' ministry, while he was still in the process of calling his disciples, he called Philip. Philip then told Nathanael about Jesus, saying, "He's the one we've been waiting for, the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets foretold that he would come, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nathanael responded, "How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" So here we are. We have this young girl who has been told by the angel Gabriel that she was highly favored because God was calling her to participate in the fulfillment of his promise to humanity. God was calling her to be the vessel by which his son would enter the world, and you shall call his name Jesus. Mary was this lowly virgin from a dusty little village of Nazareth, was being called by God to be a part of the fulfillment of God's promise, of the greatest gift humanity would ever receive, salvation. Now, this is not just some old promise. This was a promise that would change the world forever. This promise was not made the day before. It was made from the beginning of time, from the Garden of Eden. God promised after the fall of Adam and Eve, one would come to bring humanity back into a right relationship with him. The promise of the Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior, was not an afterthought for God. Jesus was always the promise for God's redemptive plan for humanity. Now we have Elizabeth, the older one, the cousin to little Mary. She had been brought up in a priestly family and married to a priest, Zechariah. She was a righteous and devout woman, but she was barren like Sarah and Hannah. Being barren was the worst tragedy that could happen to a woman and her family and husband. The assurance that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, the people believed it in part, but then they wondered, well, how could this be so that since she is barren? Since Elizabeth was barren, she could definitely not be the one to give birth to the promised God, the Messiah. This was a gift from God for women at that time. Any one of them could have been the one to birth the Messiah, but this would not be Elizabeth. She was barren. We all know how people can be, and it was probably the same then. No matter how nice their friends and family seemed to be, the whispers and the looks said, if they were so holy and righteous, why has God allowed such a terrible thing to happen to them? For years, Elizabeth and Zechariah had prayed that the Lord would give them a child. For just as many years, their prayers went unanswered. And perhaps like many of us, once we can no longer see anything in the natural way that how this prayer that we have prayed could be answered, when they got too old to have children, they probably gave up praying for the blessing. After all, God had not seen fit to give them children when their bodies were young and strong. They didn't expect him to answer their prayer now in their old age. God is not held by time. He created time. We are the ones who put God in a box, believing that he doesn't answer our prayer by a certain time. He isn't going to bless us. I imagine Elizabeth must have been saying to herself, what's wrong with me? Why is God punishing me? And then long after her body was not able to conceive naturally, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came and told Zechariah that Elizabeth would have a son and they were to name him John. Elizabeth's body, though it was long past childbearing age, would miraculously be able to become pregnant. Not quite like Mary, but a miracle all the same. What was impossible in the natural realm was possible only through God. Scripture tells us that Gabriel told Mary, Elizabeth, your older and yes, barren cousin is with child. Mary made haste and went to see Elizabeth. Mary, reeling with the words of the angel Gabriel, fresh in her mind, she experienced, and what she had experienced, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, she had to tell somebody. Have you ever had something in you so strong and so deep, you just had to tell somebody? No doubt Mary and Elizabeth had a relationship. And that's why a relationship is so important. Mary just didn't tell anybody and everybody what Gabriel said to her, nor could she explain what was about to happen to her. You see, sometimes we get so happy we tell the wrong people how God wants to bless us. But we better know who we're talking to when we're talking. You see, Satan can disguise himself and kill your dream, discourage you and cause you to turn your back on what God has said. But you better know who you're talking to. You better know that they know that they know that there is a God. Sometimes when we've been called out by God to do something really special that requires strength and resilience, the Lord will bring someone alongside to encourage you. There will be special arrangements. You see, God gave Moses Aaron. God gave David Jonathan. God gave Jeremiah Baruch. God gave us just what we need when we need it. Will you believe when the blessing comes? He sent someone who had the mind of the things of God to help you to stand up and confirm what God has said to you, what God means when he speaks to you. The word says that Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. And the baby leaped in her womb. Here we have Jesus speaking to John for the first time. Jesus and John were in the womb, but the connection was already made. John was so excited about his assignment from God concerning Jesus that he leaped in his mother Elizabeth's womb. When was the last time you was excited about Jesus? Just at the mention of his name, do you get excited? When you hear the name of Jesus, the name that can change any situation, the name that can cause you to feel what you've never felt before. When was the last time you got excited at the name of Jesus? Here, God in his infinite wisdom is sharing with us the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Sharing with us how he can move in our lives in such a way that it's beyond anything that we could ever hope or dream. Mary wasn't dreaming of being the woman all humanity would remember for all times. Mary was dreaming about being married to Joseph. Mary couldn't believe God would choose her to be the mother of the Messiah. After all, she was from Nazareth, not Jerusalem. She was not from the palace of King of Kings and Lords of Lords, where he would be found, where we would think he would be found. We look at people and assume whom God would bless, whom God would use. We look at where they live and assume God lives there. Not so. God created all of us in his image, so he can use whomever he wants to use. He's sovereign. He uses. It's us who refuse the assignments. God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it for whomever he wants to do it. Elizabeth had stopped dreaming about ever being a mother. Elizabeth was in menopause. She was barren. And what she needed to conceive and give birth to a child was gone. But God. The word tells us the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived. But I believe the Holy Spirit overshadowed Elizabeth too. The word doesn't spell it out, but biology says that God could have done one or two things. He told her fallopian tubes, now grow a fertile egg and release it. Or maybe God told her fallopian tubes, when she get down to the last egg 20 years earlier, hold one in the cut until the appointed time when I'm going to bless Elizabeth's womb. We too are like Elizabeth. We forget, for nothing is impossible with God. Somebody's blessing is waiting in the cut. Somebody's giving up on God, and God is saying, I'm not finished with you yet. You have stopped praying. You have stopped believing. You have stopped trusting me. Somebody's been praying for a long time, and it doesn't look like God is gonna come through. God is saying, don't stop praying now. Don't stop believing in me now. Just remember that it's not in your time, but my time. Somebody in here has given up on the dream, and God is saying, don't give up yet. It's coming around. You see, I got something hid in the cup for you. Maybe some of you don't know what the cut is. It's that place where nobody can see. It's back up in the corner, not visible to the human eye. But when God is ready, he'll bring it forth. For Elizabeth, the hope, the prayer was to have a child. Whatever you're hoping and praying for, remember, for nothing is impossible with God. What miracle are you believing God for today? Can it be so? Will it be so? The Lord, the God we serve, can show up at any time and turn things around for you. He can shift your atmosphere right now. Or it might happen next week or next year. But don't give up on God, for nothing is impossible for God. We've gotten to the place where we don't want to wait on nothing. You know, we throw our dinner in the microwave. We jump on the fast plane and the fast train. But God is saying, some things you're going to learn how to wait for. We have to learn to follow in the footsteps of these godly women and know that God is able. Know that nothing is impossible for God. As I have studied God's words over the years, I have discovered a number of things about God. And one is that God sometimes works in mysterious ways. We're looking to the right and God is coming from the left. We are born for a purpose, and when God is ready, he's going to show up and position us right where he wants us to be, to receive the blessings of God. Just let me say this right now before we go any further. What God is saying to us today is not about prosperity theology. This is about purpose theology. God, speaking through Jeremiah, said in that 29th chapter and 11th verse, he says, for I know the plan I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and to give you hope and a future. As I get ready to take my seat, I want to share a few of the attributes we see and can learn from Mary and Elizabeth. You see, that first attribute they had was obedience. They understood blessings come through obedience to God. When we are believing God for a promise or a blessing, we have to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. God tells us to go right and we go left. God tells us to step up and we sit down. God tells us to go and we stay. The blessing is in obedience. We can separate our lives into compartments, putting God in one section and the world in another. We can't live like that. We can't run around living any kind of way and expecting God to bless mess. We can't go around hating and being unforgiving and think God will use us for his purpose. We are blessed to be a blessing. Sad to say, but there are people who are truly blessed but refuse to bless somebody else. That second attribute they had was faith in God. They understood without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we have nothing to bring to God. Without faith, we are just like gonging cymbals, an empty shell before a righteous and holy God. Faith is the currency of heaven. God wants us to have faith in him and his love towards us. If you don't have faith in God, it's impossible to believe that God can and will bless you. Faith keeps us in tune with God. Faith keeps us focused on God. Will you believe today that God is able? Will you believe today that God can do it? I know you're still having your doubts, but God is saying, can you believe me today? Can you believe me for what you cannot see? You know, it's easy to believe when you're looking at it. It's easy to believe it when you have it in your hand. But can you believe God for what you did not see? You see, Moses and the Israelites were standing before the Red Sea one day. And as Pharaoh and his army came to bear down on them, they didn't know what to do. God says, what do you have in your hand, Moses? Moses said, all I have is a staff. He said, extend the staff. And the Red Sea opened. Can you believe today? For God to open your Red Sea today, the enemy is on your back. You going as far as you can go. The enemy, the mountain is on your right and on your left. Can you believe God today? I know it's not easy. I struggle with it myself, but I keep going back to the word, reading what God said. He promised to keep us. He promised never to forsake us. He promised to bless us. If he said it, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should confess. He shall bring it to pass. That third attribute and final attribute for today that these two women had was that they believed God. Imagine the amount of faith they had to have in God. Imagine the strength of their faith in God to even consider the possibility of what God was saying to them. God said, I'm going to impregnate you, Mary, a virgin without a man even touching you. And Elizabeth, I'm going to revitalize your reproductive system and cause a fertile egg to enter your womb. The Bible says that Elizabeth was barren, meaning she either didn't have any eggs or that the one she had wasn't fertile. When the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, don't be afraid, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. He went on to tell him, your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, name him John. He gave Zechariah John's entire lifeline so there would be no question. But Zechariah couldn't believe. He questioned the possibility of such a miracle. And so the angel closed his mouth during the entire pregnancy. The question today is, can you believe God is able to answer our prayers? Even if it's an old prayer. You know, some of us got some old prayers we've been praying for a long time. We may not tell anybody about it. We might not call up the help, the prayer line and say, pray for this for me. We might not come up here and tell anybody at the altar. You see, it's just between God and me. You know, some of them old prayers that we still, even though we have trouble believing, we still bring it to God. Even if you've been praying all of your life for this blessing, this miracle, even if everything around you says no, we believe God. Can you believe God for a yes today? Many of us are like Zechariah. We can't believe God for the impossible. We sing songs of his majesty, his power, and his strength. But when he sends the answer, we ask, how could this be so? Can God do this in my life? The question is, will you believe when the blessing comes? When the blessing comes knocking at your door, will you go and say, nobody is at home, and go and sit back down? Or will you open the door wide and say, come on in, King Jesus. I've been waiting on you. I've been praying a long time. I've been believing your God for a long time. When others stopped believing God, I held on. God, come on in and do what only you can do. God, I trust you today.
It may not, I don't have the strength to do what you said I could do. Lord, Elizabeth didn't have the strength, but she trusts God that even though she was an older woman, that God could do what only God could do. Is there anybody in here today willing to trust God? I don't care what your age is. I don't care what the circumstances. I don't care what it looked like. As we remember through Advent and celebrate Christmas, let us remember for nothing is impossible for God. Will you believe when the blessing comes? Can you believe that God can still bless you? We come into this church week in and week out. Run up to the altar and say our little prayer. And then we go back and sit down with the same unbelief. When are you going to trust God? When are you going to believe that God is all powerful, all knowing, everywhere, at all times, can do anything but fail? Is it because you don't want to wait? Is that the problem? Or is it because your faith is not where it should be? And so I say to you today, God can help you with both of those things. He can teach you how to wait, and he can increase your faith. Will you believe today that God is able? Will you believe today that God can cause that child who you think will never come into the house of God to walk down those aisles and change their life forever? Can you believe? It's not what it looks like. Satan will try to trick you and show you one thing, but God is trying to tell you, I got something in the cut. I got something waiting for you, but I need you to believe. I'm not going to do it as long as you don't believe I can do it. I know it. God ain't calling nobody. I don't think so, but it's possible. I don't think he's calling any Elizabeths today, and I know he's not calling any Marys. But what I do know is that whatever that thing is that God has for you, and he has for you to do it, you can sit all you want, but he'll wait you out. You can pretend you didn't hear him, but he'll wait you out. You can act a fool all you want, so God will change his mind, but he's not changing his mind. I know I'm 56 years old. I started on this journey at 45. I didn't just hear God at 45. I heard him a long time ago, but he waited me out. I made every excuse in the book. I said, I got a job, a very demanding job. I got a child. I'm a single parent. I really can't have time for this. He said, yeah, well, you better find some time because I'm not changing my mind. And God took me through the journey. And here I am. I may not be the best preacher in the world, but the word of God is in my bones. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't sit down until I say what thus saith the Lord. I pace the floor. I toss and I turn because I am so, so sold out on Jesus that he brought me here that I might deliver a word that would help somebody. I don't know what you're trusting God for. I don't know what you're believing God for. But I'm telling you, it's not over till God says it's over. Get up off of your, get on your feet right now and give God a hand clap of praise. Thank God that he still loves you. That he's not going to give up on you. He's going to hold on and hold out until you come on through. Moses ran in the Midian desert, stayed out there for 40 years. Thought he had messed up so bad that God couldn't use him anymore. But God says, not so. He came to him in a burning bush. Somebody's gonna get a burning bush. God's going to speak to you today and tell you, I'm not through with you yet. I got work for you to do. Somebody is waiting on a blessing that's going to come through you. You see, he used Mary and he used Elizabeth, and he's going to use you too. I open up the doors of this church, and I say to you today, if you don't have a relationship with God, I tell you, now is the time. Tomorrow's not promised. People are leaving here every day.